prayer. Dear gracious and loving Father, we come humbly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing, Father, that we are at the end time. And as we look at the chronology of these end time events, Father, we realize, Lord, there isn't much left. Yet, Father, we see that each of these events has been a period of time, O God, and the long suffering of God is just waiting upon us to die to self, to allow the Holy Spirit to work himself, his life, his character in us. Forgive us, Father, of our shortcomings. Forgive us, Father, where we have failed thee. We ask humbly, O God, that you would take these lives, O God, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto thee. Help us, O God, to learn what it means to be a dead man. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last night we looked at the end time testing, and we saw that the squeeze will come at a time when the council of churches begins to tighten up, and that it will bring on a real test for every believer to either stand or fall. We looked at the end time in general and saw the principles of God in that he always tests his own. We saw the trial of our faith, or the trial of our revelation, and we saw no matter how many times that we're tested and fail, that since we are ordained to pass the test, eventually we will pass the test. So if God has to get us sick and tired of the test in order to get us to finally die to self, then that's exactly what we'll do. Now this morning I'd like to speak on the time when the bride will be at the wedding supper while the tribulation will be raging here down on earth. It will be during that time, or this time, that God turns to Israel to work with her one last time. And during this time, he will send two witnesses with the spirit of Moses and Elijah to Israel. And they'll be rejected during this time, and they'll be killed, and the whole world will watch on television, as the scripture tells us, the whole world will see it. Finally, the tribulation will end in a war in the Middle East called Armageddon, which will be the destruction by man's fire. From questions and answers, Brother Branham, someone said, Brother Branham, I would like to know about the millennium. Is it after the marriage supper, or is it on earth? All about it. I don't understand about it. Well, brother, sister, it's hard for me to understand it myself. But the only thing that I can say is this, that the marriage supper comes before the millennium. Now, see, somebody I know somewhere in here has got a question on that. They said, Brother Branham, you're wrong on the 70 weeks of Daniel. They'll still be 70 weeks. No, the Messiah has to come and prophesy. And in the midst of the 70th week, 70 of weeks, which is 7 years, he was to be cut off from among the living and made a sacrifice. How many remembers that? All right. How many years did Jesus preach, the Messiah? 3.5. Then there's still 3.5 years determined. And in Revelation, the 11th chapter, these two prophets, they prophesy 1,260 days, 3.5 years, still promised to Israel when the Gentile bride is gone. How many understands that now? See? All right. So Brother Brad is letting us know by the scripture and just by basic math that the prophecy of the two prophets that come is basically 3.5 years. Now, during the time of that tribulation is happening down here on earth for 3.5 years, the bride will be safely tucked away at the wedding supper, which is in heaven or another dimension, higher dimension. From questions and answers, he says, the church age ending and is blacked out and the bride is called. And we've already entered into the tribulation period. No. That's the question for Brother Branham. He said, no. He said, I wish that I could just have more time on that. See, the bride, when she's taken from heaven, then the church age will cease. Laodicea goes into chaos. The bride goes to glory. Well, if we can see the chaos already beginning, how close are we? And the tribulation is a period. The tribulation period sets in upon the sleeping virgin for 3.5 years while Israel is getting its prophecy. Then tribulation sets in upon Israel. And then comes the battle of Armageddon, which destroys all things. And then the bride returns back with the groom for 1,000 years, the millennium reign. After that comes the white throne judgment. After that comes the new heavens and new earth and the new city coming down from heaven, from God out of heaven. Eternity and time blends together. So you see, there are so many end time events that have not happened yet. But for most of them, the elect will be gone. The events of the tribulation are interesting because God is no longer dealing with the Gentiles at that time. He has now turned the deal once more with the Jews. And it is interesting when God is dealing with the Jews that he selects out 144,000 Jews to be his witnesses to the earth during this time. And the same time, at the same time, God is dealing with the righteous Jews, the 144,000. He's also dealing with the reprobate Jews, the Wall Street Jews, because they will enter into a pact with Rome, and then in the midst of the week, Rome will turn on them, and then they will be through. So, on one hand, when God's dealing with the righteous Jews, he's going to be dealing with the evil reprobate Jews. Now, during the tribulation, the world will be stricken by the judgments of Deuteronomy 28 for turning down God's voice in this hour. They'll receive all the curses and judgments, which, as we've already seen, are both economic judgments, and then we have the judgments of the plagues and death. Finally, at the end time, or the end of the tribulation, it comes on with a great war in the Middle East called the Battle of Armageddon, which ultimately brings the destruction of the entire world. So the events and characters of the tribulation period, which we know is a space of time between, will be 144,000 Jews, which God is dealing with, and which will be saved, and the reprobate Jews, which will be cursed. Now, I've never preached on tribulation, anything about tribulation before, because it doesn't pertain to us. But I want you to understand that while all of this agony, all this stuff is going on one hand, we're in heaven. We're at a wedding supper. We're having a 3.5-year wedding supper, a tremendous time with each other. From Victory Day, Brother Branham said, it'll finally wind up in the great battle of Armageddon. That'll be the last. When she comes to the battle of Armageddon, that'll settle the whole thing. Just before the great millennium, Armageddon is to clean off the earth. She repurifies herself with this atomic blowing, and then the volcanic ash and the thing sinks. The soaked blood of men upon the earth and the sin and the crime, she sinks beneath the earth, and the volcanic breaks out again and renews and cleans the earth for a great millennium. He cleans his church during that time for a people to live here. Amen. I say like that, yes, sir. That's coming a time when it'll be great. So just because we're gone for 3.5 years at a wedding feast doesn't mean exactly, 3.5 years later we're here. There's a period of time of cleansing, and he says there's an ash breaking out in the volcanic ash, and all the scientists are predicting this anyway. And that's why they built the big place up there in Norway. They're hoping that if somebody will be able to survive, then there'll be all this seed and everything else there. But they're saying that the volcanic ash will actually darken the entire earth when all the volcanoes go, because they're expecting all of them to go, even ones that have been dormant for 1,000 years. They're all expected to go, and when they do, it'll darken the sky. Nothing will grow. There'll be no vegetation. Everything will just be ash. And finally, whenever that period is blown off, the saints will come back and re-inhabit this earth. What a wonderful thing to look forward to. For the next few moments, I'd like to read some scriptures and quotes concerning the tribulation period, and then we're going to go to the wedding supper. In Matthew 22, we see a parable that Jesus tells us about those who are called to the wedding supper. In Matthew 22:11, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friends, how camest thou in hither not having on a wedding garment? And he was speechless. It's verse 11 and 12. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, for many are called and few are chosen. Whenever the scripture refers to the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, it's referring to the tribulation period. Now notice, this person tried to get into the wedding supper. He didn't come in through the door. And I've got a quote here, I'll share it with you, where Brother Bram talks about in the East, that when men were invited to a wedding, they were actually met at the door by the bridegroom. And the bridegroom, it was his duty to furnish robes for each of his guests. I want you to notice about this wedding garment she is given to wear, because over in the book of Revelations, we are told that the wedding garment is the righteousness of the saints. And these people don't have it on. Therefore, they are not rightly wise. And since they did not come via the door, which is the word, which is Christ, then they came in some other way, through denomination, through whatever. From Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are true sayings of God. I believe this garment, as it says, is a righteousness then it has to do with her being the right kind of a son or daughter. And remember, according to the law of adoption, only the right kind of a son will receive the garment of adoption that Brother Branham talks about at the time of adoption, which Paul says, to wit, is the redemption of our body. So there's no body change if there's not a righteous life. Basically, that's it. Now, from his sermon, Questions and Answers, Brother Branham said, the church, the lukewarm, anything outside of the elected bride will go through the tribulation. They will not raise in the first resurrection. The rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. Just the foreordained, predestinated, elected bride, God's own election. Who is it, Brother Branham? I don't know. I can't tell you who it is, but I know it's going to be there because the Lord said they would. Now notice, there's four things here. Number one, he says, they are the ones that will go up from the tribulation, but the rest of them will go through the tribulation, go down. And everything will be killed before the millennium. So there's nothing left. Number two, he says, then the righteous shall come out in the millennium and live 1,000 years. Number three, and after the 1,000 years, then the great white throne judgment comes. And then four, and then the dead, both right and wrong, is raised. And five, and the books are open, the book of life was open, and the saints, the wife, and the husband sit and judge the world. And there it comes to pass the saying, and he'll judge all nations with a rod of iron. All nations shall stand before him there, and he'll judge them with the rod of iron. He'll separate the sheep from the goats and say to the goats, depart, and the sheep, come ye blessed of my Father. We see another scripture that deals with this time of the tribulation in Luke 13:23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter into the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen and has shut to the door, and he begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open up unto us. And he shall say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you that work iniquity. Now what's iniquity? It's you know to do right and you don't do it. Notice you have a group of people here who were in his presence. But then one day he shuts the door. He shuts the word. And the word is no longer able. They are no longer able to recognize or to see what's behind the door. What's in the word. They're blind to it. These are people that have walked in his presence. These are people that ate and drank in his presence. And he says, depart from me, I don't know you. As Brother Vail told us years ago, Dr. Hoyer, he said, the actual Greek says, I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. In other words, a great divorcement. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. That's the order of the resurrection. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom, and you yourselves are thrust out. So there are going to be people that are going to know somehow the resurrection is on. Somehow they're going to know, and they're not part of it. What an awful thing to go through. From a sermon, Sixfold Purpose of Gabriel, Visit to Daniel, Brother Branham said, now after the bride appears, after the 70 weeks, the bride appears in Revelation the 19th, the 1st and 16th verse, she arrives with her bridegroom, the mighty king. Oh my, I don't know whether we're going to get it all in or not. Just God is so. Let's just read part of this anyhow. Here's where the bride will come after this. See, after the millennium sets in, when Christ comes back with the bride, right, onto the 16th and the 19th, after these things, after this tribulation, after the woes, after the seals, after the plagues, after the casting out of Satan, after the setting up in the millennium. Now watch. After these things, I heard a voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are thy judgments. For he had judged this great whore, which she corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. and her smoke rose up forever and ever. That old prostitute church. Her smoke rose up, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat upon the throne, saying, Hallelujah, Amen, Hallelujah. A voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it was with a voice of a great multitude. Now listen here, now listen, here you are, church. After she went up in the third here, she comes, and the sixth verse, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. Watch. The marriage of the Lamb has come. Here she comes. Now let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Now here she comes, both bride and groom. And to her was granted that she would be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto her, Write, blessed are they that are called unto the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are true sayings of God. And I fell down at the feet of to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou doeth it not. I am of thy fellow servants, thy brethren, and thy brethren have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Worship God. For the testimony of Christ, or of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and a white, oh my, he that sitteth thereon was faithful and true and righteous, and he does judge and make war. And his eyes was a flame of fire, and his head was many crowns, he was crowned, what? King of kings. And he had a name written that no man knowed but he himself. And he was clothed with white vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word is made flesh and dwelt among us. Who is Jesus? And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon his white horse, clothed in white linen, clean. Glory, here he comes. And out of his mouth will go a sharp two-edged sword that should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron, and it treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So now we're looking at then the time of the wedding supper. Another scripture that deals with this time of tribulation. Now remember, time of wedding supper, tribulation, wedding supper, tribulation. Going on at the same time. Another scripture that deals with tribulation is Matthew 25:27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto them which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given. That means everyone that's of an ability to echo, that means to say it the same way, and live it the same way, he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, or echoes not, shall be taken away even that which he thinks that he echoes. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we're looking at then a people going in that are echoing, a people that don't go in that don't echo. And echo means, like Brother Branham said, if you have the Holy Spirit, then you'll live the life of Christ. The same life that he lived, you'll live. And Brother Branham said in his sermon, Questions and Answers on the Seals, he said, What happened to the born-again believers who are at the various denominations, but not in the Bride of Christ? What happens to them? Well, I think I explained that a while ago. See, they go into the tribulation. They are martyred in the tribulation. They come up in the last, after the millennium, for their judgment. See, because the bride said that the Bible said that the rest of the living. Now the rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years was expired. Then there was a resurrection, and then come forth both the just and the unjust, and was judged by Christ and the bride. He came to the earth with 10,000 times 10,000 of his saints. Is that right? His bride. Judgment was set. The books was open. Books was open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. He separated there the goats from the sheep. Is that right? That had nothing to do with the bride. She was standing there in judgment with her, the queen and the king together. So we see there's going to be a whole bunch of people that are Christian people, but they're not in the election. And they're going to be going through tribulation period. And I wouldn't want, like Brother Brown said, I wouldn't want to spend 5 minutes there. Another parable is Matthew 24:4. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise steward or servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give the meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord hath, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing so. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of the servant shall come in that day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he thinketh not, or he is not aware, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So their portion is tribulation. I think it behooves us to die to self, because the only way you're going to get out of here is to have Christ living in you. Because if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, it'll quicken your mortal body, and it'll take you out of here. The only people going in a rapture are those filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, Jesus deals with the tribulation of Matthew in 13:40. He says, "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And again in Matthew 13:47, he says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from the among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire," etc. So, notice, he says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that cast a net. And he says this net went into all the world. It was cast into the sea. The sea represents peoples, nations, multitudes, and tongues. And he says this is at the end of the world. God sends his messengers, plural, and they cast this net, and it goes into the nations, people, multitude, and tongues, and it starts to draw the people. And that net, then when it's drawn in, will separate those who are gods, those who are not gods. And there's only one net that I know that's been cast, that could possibly be cast into nations, peoples, multitudes, and tongues, and that's the internet. That's just my own feeling, but Brother Brown said the entire New Testament speaks of this hour. And so God has used the internet to draw, and also the internet in drawing, it also is causing great divisions, because there's people saying, well, you know, you're preaching leave veils to gods, or you're doing this, or you're doing that. And they don't take what the prophet says. They won't look at the quotes from William Branham. In fact, I've actually, the brothers have told me in Uganda, they've told them, they said, they told the ministers there, they said, don't use the quotes that Brian Kusorik is using. Well, then that means they've got to throw out thousands and thousands of quotes. You know, this is not an easy time to be going through. But either you stand with God and his word or you don't. It's separation time. From questions and answers on Genesis, Brother Branham speaks to us about the two witnesses that will go to the Jews during the tribulation period. He says, then when the church is taken up, Moses and Elijah appears in Revelation 11 and preaches Jesus Christ to them. And the Holy Spirit took from the Gentiles, the rapture comes for the church to be taken up. And the Jews that's left here will be preached for 3.5 years. Because he said, there's 70 of weeks still determined on thy people, and Messiah shall be cut off in between them. And when he's taken away, the Gentiles will be given a place, and then they got 3.5 years to be preached to of Jesus Christ. Now concerning the wedding supper, which will take place in heaven at the same time that the tribulation is taking place down here on earth, let me read the following scriptures. Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now from the rapture message, Brother Branham said, therefore the message calls the bride together, the shout and the trumpet. The same morning with a loud voice he screams out with a shout and voice and woke Lazarus. With a loud voice he cried, Lazarus, come forth. See? And the voice wakes up the sleeping bride, the sleeping dead. And the trumpet, which is the sound of the trumpet, and when it does, it calls. Always a trumpet called Israel to a feast of the trumpets, which was the Pentecostal feast, the great feast in the sky, and the feast of the trumpets. And now a trumpet denounces, or calling together, calling to a feast. And now that is the Lamb's supper in the sky. Now watch, the assembling together of the bride, the feast of the trumpet, the wedding supper. We have seen it in types. Now watch just a moment before we close. So Brother Branham says the shout takes place, it gathers the living. The voice, which is the resurrection, it gathers now the resurrected. In Ephesians 1, he says, when he gathers both in heaven and which are on earth. And so we're looking at that great time or that great dispensation, which is called the appearing, when all these things take place. And then the trump gathers both the bride and the living together and gets us ready to go home. From Matthew 22 and 1, and Jesus answering and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servant to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully, and they slew them. Now, I used to think this was, you know, all just totally Gentiles. But reading the other night, Brother Branham said, no, this was the Jews. The ones that turned down when the son was, you know, came to get married, they turned it down, and they begin to slay the servants. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed these murderers and burnt up their cities. That's Titus came in, destroyed the city. Then saith he to his servant, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore, this is now this hour, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. If you don't come through Christ, there's no other way you'll get there. From things that are to be, Brother Brown said in Matthew, I've got the scripture here, I'm watching the scriptures, Matthew 22, 1 to 14. I haven't got time to read it because it's getting up too late. I've spoken too long to you, but remember, the king set forth and made a supper. He killed all the oxen and fixed the fatlings and everything, and had a great supper prepared. And he set out and he bid many to come. One said, well, you know, after all, I belong to this and I got this and I got to go to my farm. And one did many things and he sent again. And they evilly mistreated them. And finally, that was the Jewish generation Jesus was talking to. They had something else to do. Then finally, he sent him away and said, go, just compel them. Go into the streets and highways and everywhere and compel them to come in. And after that, determined that his wedding supper was going to be set, there was going to be guests there. And then he found a man in there without a wedding garment on. He wanted to hold on to the coat, to his old coat. And look what he said. Friend, have I invited you to my wedding supper, and I invite you and give you an invitation to come? And if you ever was in the Orient, which I preached in there many times, the wedding supper is still carried on just the way it was. The bridegroom, he has so many guests that he's going to have. Probably, Brother Cobb, probably you've watched it there in India. See, they just have so many guests that he's going to ask. Let's say he's going to ask 30 guests. Now, the bridegroom has to furnish the robes. He has to furnish them. Therefore, there's a man standing at the door, and you come up with your invitation. He examines your invitation and puts you on a garment, a robe. See, and some of them are rich, and some of them are poor, and some of them are different, but they all look alike when they get on their robes. And Brother Brown said, we've all got to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. And Paul said the same thing. You see, they all look alike when they have on their robes. You ain't going to be saying, well, I'm a Methodist over here, and I'm a Presbyterian over here. Oh, no, you ain't going to be there in the first place. See, you've got to come by the door. Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. I'm Pentecostal, I'm this or that. That don't mean one thing. You come by the door, and if you come by the door, you get the robe. From who is this Melchizedek, Brother Brown said, Jacob wrestled all night and wouldn't turn him loose until God blessed him. That's right. A battle for life. And after the battle is over, then God gives you of himself. That is his true communion. The little bread and wafer just represents it. You shouldn't take it unless you've wrestled it out and become a part of God. Remember, at this time, the communion had never been instituted until before the death of Jesus Christ, hundreds and hundreds of years before that, later. But Melchizedek, after his child Abraham had won the victory, Melchizedek met him, gave him the wine and bread, showing that after this earthly battle is over, we will meet him in the heavens and take the communion again. It'll be the wedding supper. I will not drink no more of the vine or eat of the fruit until I eat it and drink it with you anew in my Father's kingdom. That's right. And from doors and a door, Brother Bram said, but see, it's like the church has to pass through the hall of critics. We go through. You're going to be called holy rollers. You're going to be called everything. But if you could only hold your position in Christ, then someday he'll take us to the hall of fame. But first we've got to stand criticism. There's where the littleness of us stands. There's where it shows. He that cannot stand chastisement is an illegitimate child and not a child of God. No matter how much he's joined church and whatever he's done, he still, if he cannot stand chastisement, he's illegitimate and he's not a real child of God. But a real, genuine child of God don't care what the world says. Everything else is secondary. He's got his mind on Christ, and that settles it. Whatever Christ says, he'll do it. Whenever the Lamb goes, they're with him, wherever. And then you see his appearing, his presence, and what he does. He's always with his people, his bride. He's courting her. And someday there's going to be a wedding supper. So if you're part of that appearing, you're with him as he goes, you'll be there. From questions and answers, the word that's in you, the body will materialize around that word, and the same thing it did with Sarah. When that old body that she had, the first body, it had to be changed in order to produce a son. You get that? That body could not do it, and this body cannot do it. So it'll have to be changed the same way to receive the son. How will it take place and when? Where is the bride? Where is it that the bride goes? It goes to glory, heaven, for the wedding supper, just the type like Isaac and Rebekah, when Rebekah went to meet Isaac. And remember, Eliezer representing now the message that went forth from Abraham. Eliezer went forth to find a bride for Isaac. He found the beautiful Rebekah in the cool of the evening, a little dark-skinned girl coming out with a water pot on. And Eliezer prayed and said, Lord, give me a good journey now and success for my master Abraham. And he said, go and don't take him amongst the Philistines. Don't take her. Get her over amongst his people. Showing that the bride of Christ and the bride of Christ and Christ is blood relation, because Rebekah and Isaac were of cousins. So the question is, when Eliezer took them back, where did she meet the groom? Anybody tell me? You know? Where did Rebekah meet Isaac? In the field, what and where in the field?
By the well.
In the tent. Just thought I'd throw that in there. All right. Alpha's Omega. From questions and answers. Now, this is a striking thing. Please don't take it as a doctrine. But do you understand what the scripture said would take place when that did? Time was over. For look, there was 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom, and half of them had oil in their lamp, half of them didn't. That's the part of the body that's dead, and the part that's alive. The 5 wise, when the cry came, behold the bridegroom, they all woke and trimmed their lamps to go into the wedding supper. But when the foolish virgin said, give us of your oil, our lamps is gone out, see, give us of your oil, they said, not so, we just have enough for ourselves, you go buy it. And while they went out to buy it, the bridegroom came. So you see, they had the same desire in their heart. They just didn't have the Holy Ghost. And when they realized when it was too late, they went to get it. But it was too late, the door was shut. You know, salvation begins in the house of God. You need to get ready now. From proving his word, he said, now we say he's raised from the dead. I didn't say it. The word says it here. They said he's raised from the dead. He says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You believe that? He promised these things to happen in the last days, that the same Son of Man will be made manifest. Now remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there that could discern the thoughts in Sarah's mind like that. That was not Jesus. He had not yet been born. But it was a man in human flesh that Abraham called Elohim, the great Almighty, showing. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom. Now watch close. In the days of Sodom, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed. Not no more as a church, not no more, but the bride's called. See, in that day, the Son of Man will be revealed. What? To join the church to the head. Unite the marriage of the bride. The bridegroom call will come right through this. when the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. The church has to be the Word. He is the Word, and the two unites together. And to do that, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. Not a clergy. I don't know. Do you see what I mean? See, it's Son of Man. Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh among us and will make his word so real that it'll unite the church and him as one, the bride, and then she'll go home to the wedding supper. Amen. She's already united. See, we go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. Fill yourself all the flesh of mighty men because the marriage of the Lamb has come. But the rapture is going to the wedding supper when the word here unites with the person and they two become one. Then what does it do? It manifests the Son of Man again, not the church theologian, the Son of Man. The Word of the church becomes one. Whatever the Son of Man done, he was the Word. The church does the same thing. Now remember, Son of Man term is used 87 times in the Bible. Always refers to God in a man, as a prophet, in a prophetic ministry. From future home, Brother Branham said, just a little while and we'll be summoned. Then the rapture will come. Just a little bitty group like Enoch will be taken up. Then the remnant of the woman's seed that keep the commandments of God, Jews, have the testimony of Jesus Christ, Gentiles, will be hunted down like dogs and shall give their life for their testimony. Then one great morning, the break of the millennium for the honeymoon will start. And then the rest of the dead live not till the end of the 1,000 years. Then at the end of the 1,000 years, there was a judgment showing that Ham was in the ark. And Ham is still there in the remnant. Ones that heard it and rejected it will have to be judged. Now grant it, Lord, that we'll not be considered among them, but we'll be in the call to the wedding supper, for we do recognize Jesus Christ among us today. We're going with him. We're going in with him, out of the world into him. Let us walk forth in that city, come out with him. Now, another place, Ron and I were talking years ago, and we come across a quote where Brother Branham said, the rapture will be so natural, it'll be like turning on a light. And he said it could pass right through you, and unless you're aware, you'll miss it. The fact is that we've got to be so dead to yourself and let Christ live in you. Otherwise, you're going to miss it. From the unveiling of God, he says, paragraph 182, so will it be sometime when the trumpet of the Lord shall be sounded, time shall be no more. Those who have been looked at and made fun of, that stood there before the open veil and seen the word of God manifested, others will scream for it, but as you said, it'll be too late then. They went into the wedding supper and they were left out there where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Help every person to believe this morning, Father. Break through every veil of selfishness, every veil of unbelief, and see the mighty conqueror unveiled before the believers. For lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. A little while, and the world won't see me no more, yet ye shall see me. Show yourself among us, Lord, as you have been doing. Ever remain that way until we're visibly before you, when the amorph has been changed and you become again Son of Man and Son of David. Grant it, Lord, through Jesus Christ's name. And just a few more and we're close. From questions and answers on the Holy Ghost said, now, here's one that's really a sticker. Question. I think it's the same person because it looks like the same handwriting. If a person must have the Holy Ghost to be converted and go in the rapture, what will be the state of children that have died before the years of accountability? And when will they rise? Now, my brother, sister, I cannot tell you that. There's no scripture on it in the Bible that I can find anywhere. But I can express my thoughts now. This will strengthen you that believes in grace of God. You see, the person wants to know, which is a very good question, the person wants to know what will happen to the baby, that if he has to have the Holy Ghost in order to go in the rapture. As I have said, that's right. That's according to the Bible. That's the teaching of the Scripture, not to go to heaven because the Holy Ghost-filled people is in the first resurrection, the elect, and the remnant of those, and the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years after the millennium, then the second resurrection, the great white throne judgment. See, that's exactly Bible ordered. But this person wants to know, what about these babies? In other words, did they have the Holy Ghost before they were born? Did they receive it? Now, that I cannot tell you. But just remember, as we read last night, Brother Ram talked about his own daughter, Hope. And he said, I could not understand when God took my baby, took my wife, how that was all things working out for my good. He said, but then months later, he said, when I saw my little girl in the fullness of her life, and I saw her, and I realized, you know, that she was there, he said, I realized that perhaps God took her while He said, I believe God took her while she was yet still tender and sweet. You see? And he said, because she could have grown up and done something that would not have been very pleasing to God. So look at that in these context. God is a grateful God. He's a gracious God. And he's not an evil God. And he's not going to leave your babies behind for some people to come in and just butcher them or do whatever. I believe in bride families. And I believe that we need to act as bride families and live as bride families. That's all I can say. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we don't have all the answers, but you do. You're the sovereign God. You're the sovereign King. So, Father, we just pray that you'd help us, Lord, to die to ourselves, that Christ might live in us, and that we would see nothing among us except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Help me, O God, where I failed in this. Help me not to look through the eyes of Brian, but look through the eyes of you. And help me, Father, to die to myself, that no one would see anything except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. This we ask humbly, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee.